From the land to Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the second day of September 2025. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Naomi Bloom at TotalFarmMarketing.com out of West Bend, Wisconsin. Travis Mateer, Extension Beef Cattle Specialist and Educator, will join us to discuss next Wednesday's OAR Beef Research Center Field Day. We'll turn our attention to basis in the Northwestern part of the Corn Belt with Ed Usset, agricultural economist at the University of Minnesota. And we'll take up the weather forecast too with Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, all on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
September corn for the day settled at 403. That was up 5 cents. December at 423, 2¾ cents higher. And the March at 440¾, 3 higher. September soybeans today, $10.25¾, 11 cents lower. November at 1041, down 13½. And January futures, 10.59½, 13 cents lower. Bean meal futures at 275.50, down $8.10. The bean oil at 51.97, 50 cents higher. Wheat futures in the September, a nickel higher at 5.13. December, 5.28¼, down 6. And the hard red winter wheat in the December at 5.11¼, 8½ lower. I think I told you September was a down, or rather up 5 cents. It was down 5 cents in the soft red winter wheat. Live cattle futures at 239.50. 52½, 12½ cents lower. Feeders at 363.70, 77½ cents lower. And lean hogs at $95.55. And we're down 52½ cents for the day. Crude oil at $65.59 a barrel, $1.58 higher. Diesel fuel or heating oil up a dime, and that's at $2.37¾. Gasoline at $2.02¢, 7¾¢ per gallon higher on the day. Some of the outside markets, including the S&P 500, down around 74 points at 6,399. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 40,183 points, down 419 points at this hour. Stay with us each and every day here on WILL AM 580, willag.org, and this radio station for updates of information from the agricultural marketplace all day long. You can check it out starting on our home station at willag.org with the opening market report, and then a midday update during the noon hour. So check that out. Again, find the address and all that information at WILLAG.org. Naomi Bloom from TotalFarmMarketing.com out of West Bend, Wisconsin is now here. I hope you had a great Labor Day weekend. I know I did, Naomi.
Yes, things good. My son Oscar made the football team at UW-Platteville, so I'm a happy and proud mama.
Good for him and great for you.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. So, well, yeah. Since he made the team, is he the D-line?
Yes, he's on the D-line. So super excited to see, you know, how it all ends up. Platteville should have a good team this year, and can't wait to get to those games.
Yeah, so I said D-line for a reason, because I was thinking about what was happening in corn and soybeans, and they've been playing defense for a while. So I was trying to make that transition. And I did like the way corn finished today after being down several cents following soybeans lower in the overnight trade. It popped up at some point in the day. What happened there?
Yeah, so last night, market just started to trade lower corn, beans, and wheat. Just didn't get a lot of fresh news over the weekend. So corn went back and tested some of the moving averages between like the 5-day moving average and also the 50-day moving average. So that ended up holding as support. And because it held, just saw a little bit of buying creep back throughout the day. Weekly export inspections came in within the expected amount, but I think the market is just aware of the rust situation out in the fields, and it continues to kind of slowly spread. And so there's, you know, just more this concern that it's not going to be this record crop that the USDA is saying. I mean, we'll have no idea where it is until the combines roll. But just that uncertainty, is it getting the fund traders to move to the sidelines? So, for example, when the Commitment of Traders report was released Friday afternoon, which was current as of end of business of Tuesday last week, the funds had bought back nearly 34,000 contracts of their short position. So they're still short 110,000 contracts of corn officially, but they are exiting that short position. And on Friday alone last week, they had exited another 18,000 contracts. So they're actually now probably short still 90,000 contracts or so, but they are moving to the sidelines. And so we don't know if there's like a truly bullish story yet on the supply side situation or not because of the rust, but it's enough to make traders think twice and exit the short positions.
Yeah, so the marketplace is really now awaiting some confirmation of what size this crop is. Rust playing a role in corn. Soybeans dropped because why?
Well, there was still just a legitimate lack of fresh news. We were at resistance levels on charts all last week and it held, but because there was not anything fresh or new for news over the weekend and no signs of China buying anything yet, markets saw a little bit of profit taking. So that's what that felt like to me. We're probably going to see that soybean market trade in a little bit more of a sideways lackluster pattern. And we're supported, well supported by a smaller crop year because of the smaller planted acres. But without big new export demand, the market's going to struggle to rally in the short term. Soybeans range bound where we have the November contract having good support at 1025, but resistance at 1060. So a larger range. But without any fresh export news, it's going to be hard for the bean market to rally. But at the same time, of course, well supported because of our smaller U.S. supply here with the lower planted acres. And a lot of question of where the yield will end up. And of course, that we won't know for about another month till the combines get rolling.
I know you watch livestock closely. What can you tell me about the beef cattle market today?
Yeah, so we had some two-sided trade action there. At one time, we had the marketplace kind of work into new highs, and then we backed off. What's interesting is that in the fund category, the funds exited 2,500 contracts of feeder cattle last week of their long position. But on the live cattle side, they just continue to add a small amount of length there. So we were looking at cash markets last week, still kind of trading firm. Last week, we had trade in the north about steady to $2 higher, and with the south, some steady trade. Box beef values closed a little higher as well, choice up a buck and select up four last week. So the market, well supported still fundamentally. We keep looking to see if there's a sign of the top, but as long as demand is staying strong, that cattle market continues to just show resilience and supporting these high values.
Hey, thank you much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Naomi Bloom is with TotalFarmMarketing.com from West Bend, Wisconsin. You may hear her again, her comments, that is, on our website. Look for the closing market report at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org. While you're there, scroll down and you'll find articles that have been written by the agricultural economist, the crop scientist, and the animal scientist right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I in the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences. One of those articles deals with the Beef Research Center in Western Illinois. We'll hear from Travis Mateer in just a moment, but details are there on the website, also in our calendar of events. Check it all out at willag.org. That's W-I-L-L-A-G.org. Up next, we will talk with Travis Mateer. Next week on Wednesday evening, starting at 5 o'clock at the Orr Beef Research Center near Perry, Illinois. It actually has a Bayless address. The beef producers around the state will gather along with extension specialists, and we're now joined by Travis Mateer to talk about what they'll find out. Hey, thanks for taking some time with me today. This is something I think you look forward to each and every year. Can you tell me about it?
Yeah, it's a neat gathering. One, we just love the Orr Center for all the reasons of, you know, being able to share the research that goes on there, the partnership that we have with John Wood Community College. And if you know beef cattle production in the state of Illinois, West Central Illinois is really a heart of a lot of our beef cattle production. So it's a great facility, a great partnership, and it's a great area of the state to talk about beef cattle.
There will be a couple of folks traveling from the Urbana-Champaign campus to Western Illinois on the 10th next week. Who are they and what will they be telling producers about?
Something we look forward to every year is kind of our research update. This is a great opportunity for producers to come out and firsthand get experience talking back and forth with our researchers and finding out what the newest and latest is at the university. We'll have Dr. Dan Scheich on hand. He'll discuss some of the heifer development research that's been going on and the impacts of how heifer development really how it kind of influences cow longevity. And then our feedlot specialist, Dr. Josh McCann, is going to be there. They've been doing some really neat research on the feedlot side, looking at tracking structural correctness with video images and using some artificial intelligence overlaid. We know from practical experience that cattle that are not structurally correct have less days in the feedlot. And today in the economic environment that we're in, we're taking these beef cattle carcasses and beef cattle live weights to a really unprecedented record level. And so his discussion, I think, is very useful for our cattle feeders as well. We're actually also going to have Dr. Brittany Goodrich from the Farm Doc team there. She's going to tell us a little bit more about these market dynamics and give a cattle outlook. I think the most popular topic really all year has been, what are these cattle markets going to do? So we're going to have a conversation around that too.
Should be interesting. If people want to come, do they need to RSVP?
Yes, we'd like them to. They can either give me a call, or probably the easiest thing to do is just send me an email. My email is online, or it's wmateer2@illinois.edu. Just reach out to us and let us know you're coming.
I'll put this in the calendar of events at willag.org, willag.org on the 10th next Wednesday with the contact information for Travis, and you'll be able to get hold of him and RSVP for the 5 o'clock event at the Or Beef Research Center. That's near Bayless and Perry in Western Illinois. Thank you, Travis, for taking some time with me today.
Yeah. My pleasure, Todd.
That is Travis Mateer. He is a beef cattle educator with University of Illinois Extension. Again, if you'd like to attend the Or Beef Research Center event next Wednesday, the 10th, you can do so. Please do RSVP. You'll find all the information in our website at willag.org on that date. You're going not to the Beef Research Center, but the John Wood Community College. They're both located across the field from one another. Let's check in now with Ed Ossett. He's an agricultural economist with University of Minnesota Extension. Hello, Ed. Thank you for being with us. You know, it was more than a month ago, or just about a month ago, when we talked. USDA had not released its estimate yet for the size of the national crop, or by state, for that matter. And you were wondering out loud whether Minnesota might be able to break the 200 bushel to the acre mark. USDA put you at 202. The folks at Pro Farmer came through the southern part of the state and they said, yep, 202.86, so nearly 203. And then, of course, there's an adjustment for the rest of your state going northward. Mm-hmm. And they're still close. I mean, 197 bushel the acre, mm-hmm, thereabouts. So the question is your crop still that big?
I think it is. I think the Minnesota crop looks very good. I hear whispers of disease problems here and there, but I don't hear about them in Minnesota. The crop looks great. The crop just looks great. But we won't know. I'm not going to bet any hard money on that 200 bushel per acre average, but I'm not going to be surprised if we hit it.
Okay, so nationally, Pro Farmer, and this is the one that has people thinking about what USDA will do in September, adjusted their national numbers so that they show not quite 183 bushel the acre.
Mm-hmm.
USDA at 188.8. There's really about 6 bushels difference between the two from August 1st on USDA and to about the 20th or thereabouts for the Pro Farmer Tour. Has the national crop decreased that much in size?
I'm very interested in this September report because I believe this will be USDA's first where they've gone out and estimated, you know, gone into the field.
It will be the first time they get objective yields. That is true.
Yeah, objective yields. That's, I couldn't think of the words there, objective yields. So it'll be very, very interesting to see that, because that's a pretty wide gap between USDA's August estimate and where ProFarmer came in. And that five or six, it's really six bushels per acre, that's a big difference in the bottom line, whoever ends up right there.
You know, so the thing we have been talking about on the radio for some time now really is basis. And it has a lot to do with the size of the corn crop and trying to store it. But more importantly, a great deal to do with the lack of exports to China, particularly because they're still zero if things haven't changed.
Yes.
And that just backs up into storage. And I would think basis where you are and then going to the West has just got to be falling apart.
I'm looking at elevators bidding in southwestern Minnesota 90 under the NOVE for soybeans, which is just a terrible price. We'd have a terrible basis. We'd have to go back to the trade war of 2018 when, you know, the whole thing fell apart. This kills me even worse, though. Crush plants. Minnesota's got a handful of large crush plants, a couple in Mankato, south central Minnesota, a large one in Fairmont, close to the Iowa border, a large one in Brewster, Minnesota, a little bit further west, but again, close to the Iowa border. These are huge plants. They're bidding 65 to 70 under for beans. I mean, that's that, to me, in the early September, on the cusp of a new crop coming in, they ought to be option price or 5 under or 10 over or something like that. 65 under. Tells me they're not having troubles getting soybeans.
They just don't have to compete, and they expect they're not going to have to compete with the PNW or the port in the Northwest.
Yeah, the basis levels on soybeans and corn, and on wheat for that matter, are just as very poor, very poor.
What do you think of the market in the last week? Discounting today because the Chinese went back home after without really saying anything. And I don't think the Trump administration, at least to the point you and I are talking, have said anything about any kind of an agreement or headway being made with this delegation in the United States.
Well, it's showing in today's price action, down 15 in soybeans. I mean, the market tells you all you need to know about how those negotiations went. Not well.
What I was hoping to ask about was the increase in prices, particularly for corn last week, and whether you think that there could possibly be a pre-harvest bottom in that market?
Well, it's not uncommon to have a bottom in the corn market before harvest. We had it in August last year. It wouldn't be unusual, but I think this is going to end up being a realizing market. And what I mean by that is we seem to have had a bottom. That's good. But if we start harvesting this corn crop and see something that is actually closer to the USDA August numbers of 188.8 bushels per acre, we could dip back down and have a late low. But if we find something more like the ProFarmer numbers, we may have already set our low.
If that's the case, do we tick up, and how much upside potential might there be?
Boy, for a post-harvest strategy, before I think about unpriced grain in the bin, take a good hard look at the size of the carries. And you have to seriously think about, in the case of corn and wheat in particular, even soybeans to a degree, look at selling a large carry in all three of those markets. I don't mind somebody says, you know, I'm going to take a chance. I'm going to gamble on 20, 30, maybe even half my crop being unpriced in storage. I can live with that. If you're gambling on all of it, you're ignoring a great opportunity to sell the carry. There's no guarantee we're going to have, you know, when we talk about setting a bottom, Todd, that doesn't mean we start going straight up. It just means we quit going lower, which is a nice thing to do, but that doesn't mean we start heading straight up. We could languish at low prices for a long time.
And by that, you probably are saying the simplest way is to sell bushels you're going to store on the farm for delivery in and out month.
Yep.
And just go ahead and make those sales.
Yep.
What about those bushels that have to go across the scale?
Well, we're going to see some DP opportunities out there, and they will be tempting. They may work. I tend to think of delayed pricing contracts as something akin to the Hail Mary pass in football. Occasionally, it makes for a great story. Doesn't always work, though.
On that note, I will let you go, and we'll talk with you again next month.
That's a downer of a note to end on, Todd.
It is. Yeah. If you got a better one, we can continue.
But if I come up with one, I'll call you back right away.
Okay. Thank you much. That's Ed Ossin. He's an agricultural economist at the University of Minnesota. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Our theme music is written, performed, and produced by my brother, Tim Gleason, Logan County, Illinois farmer. We're in our 40th year of this particular program. We've had more than 10,000 episodes, 30,000 interviews. Thank you for listening to willag.org. Now, up next, we have an update of the weather forecast from Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
For the second week in a row, temperatures will be well below average east of the Rockies, across the northern plains, the Corn Belt, all the way through the Great Lakes, and even parts of the northeastern United States, as there will be another significant trough coming out of Canada, funneling cool air into the nation's midsection. So September starts off cooler than average. The only real heat in the far west and the Pacific Northwest in the far south. Now, the cool weather won't bring much in the way of any significant rain. Yes, rain will fall, but rainfall amounts will generally be at or a little bit below average for September, as these Canadian cold fronts this time of year don't tend to bring a lot of moisture with them. Now, no significant threat that these fronts will produce an early frost or freeze in the northern areas, although it will be cold enough that parts of northern Ontario may get a little bit of snow this week. But temperatures certainly for another 7 days will be well below average for a lot of the U.S.
Thank you, Don. Don Day is with Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. If you'd like to hear Don or any of the other interviews that you heard this afternoon, look us up at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org.